Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Goalie, who is here to speak with us about her experience of making the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work a regular part of her awareness practice. Welcome, Goalie.
Thank you, Jen. So nice to be here.
So nice to have you. And I will tell you that as we speak, there is another group of courageous, amazing folks sitting right in the meditation hall listening to us doing that very There Is Nothing Wrong With You work.
Well, I wish I was there with them, and I know that they are doing the absolute best thing that they could ever do for themselves. So I congratulate them on the decision they made.
Amen, sister. So tell us more. What's your experience? And I will say, for the background for folks, that one of the reasons we thought it would be so fun to have you on is that you're something of a veteran now of the retreat, and in fact did it with us just recently. And I think one of the things you were saying is, wow, is there a benefit to not just doing it once? It's not the kind of retreat that you do and then you walk away, but coming back to it over and over again.
Yes. So as you know, Jen, I've done the retreat now 3 times, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I'm not going to do it again. So I feel that every time, first of all, and I think you would confirm that this retreat teaches us really the fundamental skills of our practice. And I know the first time I did it, I came home, and I just sort of slowly but surely forgot all the tools and all the skills because I wasn't practicing them. Mm-hmm. And so, I came back a second time last year, and I absolutely loved being at the monastery, so I thought that I'll have a great benefit just by being there. And I was kind of expecting to have the same sort of awarenesses, but I got completely different awarenesses. And then as life would have it this year, because summers worked really well for me to come to the monastery. Mm-hmm. So this year it just worked with my schedule. And again, I thought that I'll come and I'll have a blissful week at the monastery with the monks, mm-hmm. and I have nothing to lose. And then
this time,
and some of the awarenesses I had were mind-blowing. So, as I was thinking about this interview, I thought, some of the things that I can say from doing the retreat repeatedly is that, first of all, it helps me to solidify the skills, which are really the foundation for me of the work we're doing. Absolutely. And then I noticed that there's a different person who goes to the retreat every year.
Yeah.
Because, I have been practicing each time a little bit more. But, we get older and hopefully wiser. So there's a different person that goes to the retreat. And so the outcome of the retreat is different. And, and some of the lessons that the Buddha taught, I really felt played out for me in this third retreat that I did a couple of weeks ago. And in particular, I remember that the first thing that sort of attracted me to Buddhism was a friend of mine years ago said that Buddhism teaches us to develop compassion for ourselves and then to extend it to all beings. And for the first time, I really saw that sense of compassion towards all beings. And it was just, it's so nice to see the practitioner making progress, along the path. Because conditioning would always say, you're doing this again, and,
I mean, you've done it. Go do a new retreat.
Yes.
Something more interesting. And
Exactly. You know, go to somewhere different or do something different. And what I, and that is a pattern for me in my life, that I try this and then I try that and then I try the other thing. And then, so I've never really developed any expertise.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I feel like this repeating it again and again and again is just like learning the basic skills of anything. You know, the basic skills are the foundation from which everything else can be built.
It's so, true.
My
I
was going to say, my sincere desire for everyone on the planet, but at least everyone in the Sangha, is that they would give themselves the gift of doing this retreat and also, you know, give themselves the gift of spending a week at the monastery, because those two things, and then when they're combined into one, that retreat at the monastery are really, you know, life-altering experiences.
Life-altering. So, and there's just so many things passing through as you're saying all the things, Lily. But one, I want to say before I forget it, that it's also my experience that when folks come back and do the retreat again, because each retreat, of course, I mean, the retreat is completely different, right? Not only are we different when we do the retreat again, but I'm there with a different group of people, you know, the facilitators are in a different place. I mean, everything's different. And there's a way in which when folks do come back and they bring that deepening practice with them, that deepening wisdom, that has that's a huge gift for the retreat. You know, the insight that each person brings gives so much. And I know you know this part from your own experience because you've been practicing some time, the freshness that people bring when they haven't been to the retreat before, or maybe they haven't been to any retreat before, is a magnificent gift to folks who have been practicing for a while, because we get to, have those realizations for the first time again.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. And also a deep gusher to yourself and all of the facilitators, because, you know, you bring such a lot of enthusiasm to that retreat and, you know, to everything that you do, but specifically speaking to that retreat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you bring such a lot of freshness. And when you say things, it's as though you're saying it for the very first time ever. And I know that you said it before because you said it to me before, you know, and then when you bring that level, it's, you know, when you bring that level of freshness and motivation and enthusiasm, it's very compelling, you know, for the rest of us. So I just love that retreat.
Well, that's a lovely projection, Goalie.
Thank you. Thank you. I do. You know, I do love that retreat. And as you know, I've done it three times. And I'm really, I do see myself in this lifetime doing it again. It's just an awesome, awesome retreat. And it's just all the parts of it, the way it's put together, the way it's thought through. And, you know, every single person I know, I can say, I think for a fact, that every single person who comes is different 7 days later when they leave. So
absolutely. And I can promise you, everyone who participates, I know from my own experience, everyone who participates in the retreat at whatever level, including doing dishes in the kitchen, is completely changed at the end of the week. I mean, the whole thing is so transformational. And I know I have had the great privilege of participating in that retreat many, many, many times. And every time I'm seeing things exactly as you described, right? There's that newness to that. There's that new level to it. There's that edge. I'm different every time. It's different every time. It's just, it's that place, as you were talking earlier, I was thinking about how, you know, you'll hear, well, anyone, people who are who have mastered anything, or master painters, poets, or that sort of thing, talking about how important the foundation is, and that you articulated perfectly that everything comes from the foundation. You know, we all want to kind of get to the expert. Let me go to the high level, you know, the expert retreat. But there's a way in which the, quote, expert, the mastery comes from staying in one place and going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes. So, thank you for offering it every year. so that we can show up and have these fantastic experiences.
Well, and thank you for showing up over and over. As we often say, no one came, it would be a really different retreat.
Yes.
So, Goli, we are at the end of our time. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Just again, thank you for the retreat, and a deep gusho to everybody at the monastery and to all of the facilitators and to the guide. And I am there in spirit, and I wish the best of everything for the people who are there right now doing the retreat.
And equal to you, Goli. Deep gusho to you as well. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, and thank you for your practice.
Thank you so much.
Take good care. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Goli. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that
fun? How are you?
Good. Doesn't it make you wish you were there?
Yes, yes. Yes, I can imagine everybody there. And I love that conversation with Goli and Jen. It's great.
I actually kind of, I'm actually in the Bay Area because somebody has to be at center, you know, when they're playing at the monastery. And I was laughing today. It's so hot in the Bay Area, which I'm sure you've noticed too.
Yeah.
And the difference, there's a 5-degree temperature difference between the Bay Area today and the monastery. I keep track of these things on a daily basis.
Oh,
and
wow.
The difference for us is no swamp coolers, right? So it's just that hot, and it's just that hot. So I think you oftentimes I'll think, oh gosh, I hope it's not too hot for them up there. I hope, you know, I hope they're okay drinking lots of water and that sort of thing. And now I think, oh, lucky people, there's somewhere to go inside and cool off. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us.
No. That's all I have on the weather, Michael. We'll have to move on to announcements now.
Okay, good. So you, Sherry, will be offering individual guidance in the afternoon of July 28th and 29th at Center in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hopefully it'll be cool on those days.
Yes. Yes. And to register, go to center.livingcompassion.org/schedule.
All right.
And as we just heard from Goli and Jen, the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat offers foundational work in going beyond self-hate that is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Ever.
And a couple of ever.
Oh, ever.
Ever do. And a couple of slots are left in the retreat coming up July 28th through August 4th. Yes.
I just heard that myself. I just learned about that.
Oh,
I hope there's somebody out there who says, oh, listen to Goli and think, darn, I wish I could go. Well, now you can.
Mm-hmm. Now there's your chance.
Okay. Got a space for you.
Participants in the Mornings with the Mentor group coaching program will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. The 4-week coaching program starts August 8th.
Right. Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This retreat runs from September 1st through 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry. Mm-hmm. And
good time.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that covers the intro, Sherry. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I am
okay.
Ready.
Let's
all
go.
Warmed up. I'm all warmed up, Michael.
Literally, yes.
Literally.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Anne from New York.
Well, hello,
Anne.
Hi, I am so happy to be on. I've tried a couple times, and I was the one who couldn't get through technically. I was technically challenged. So I did it the old-fashioned way and used the phone.
Oh, my gosh. What a notion, huh?
I know, right?
And it worked. Wow.
It did.
All right.
It did. So, yippee. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what I have to say. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy for practice. Let's see. What's dropping in? I have
what
to say,
working with
practice works. So I'm very happy. I got a hip replacement, so I got a brand new hip, and everything going well. Yeah, it's exciting.
That's good for meditation, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's good for meditation. It could probably make meditation more comfortable.
Oh, yes, once I can actually bend my leg. Yeah, I can't do that yet. I have to still wait. No crossing legs yet. But soon.
Down the road.
I just lie. I just lie on the bed and meditate that way.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
mm-hmm.
up at the ceiling. But I had, speaking of practice of meditation, I had lots of working meditation practice. I was staying with a friend of mine while I was right out of the hospital. And it really just an amazing opportunity for a workshop. Like, people would pay oodles of money for a workshop like this, because every single ego thing that could pop up, it was like a video game, you know, like, do. And I just was breathing, and I'm like, okay, that's ego for her. Mm-hmm. How do I be kind and compassionate and present?
Mm-hmm.
And it was
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I feel
I got
a medal or something. Like, look at, you know, just proud of myself for the practitioner who got through it. And I'm pleased. I didn't have any kind of ego thing going on. I was just like, everything I said was authentic. And I spoke what I had to speak, and it was just great. So thank you, mm-hmm. everybody, for all of this practice and for the morning meditation, the virtual meditation, and the afternoon radio show, and then open air and everything. It's just such a gift to the world.
Well, thank you, Anne. And by the afternoon show, you must mean what I think of as the morning show, right? The how?
Oh, pardon. Yes.
No, that's fine. But I just thought afternoon show and open air, and then I realized, well, you're in New York. So at 9 o'clock for us, you we have lunch with you every day.
Yes,
so,
you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, I'm glad that hip is in place. And and you're on the mend, and that you were able to experience it as a workshop, as a retreat, as part of practice, not some giant mistake that shouldn't have been happening to you, that was a horrible thing, but in fact something that you could use as an opportunity to be with yourself, be present, be with the folks who were assisting you, and come out of it with that. Awareness that it's a good thing. It's all for the good. It's all an opportunity for you to enjoy practice and presence and gratitude and all those things we love so much.
Yes, 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 yes. Just
Okay. Yeah. Well, you keep taking care of yourself, huh?
I am. Thank you. I'm in heaven right now.
Thanks.
Yes. Well, thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
See you tomorrow.
See you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Well, hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Jenny.
How are you doing?
All right. Doing all right.
Good.
What's happy
going
to
on?
Be here. Practice is good. I just wanted to connect and stuff. It's been a while. Still just practicing out here in the desert. And practice is pretty good. I have I've increased my recording and listening practice. Before I was just recording every now and then, and now I'm recording pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you listening?
Not much. And that was the question that I had was, what was the point, really, of listening to him? Because, you know, I go through the recordings, but what's the point of listening to it?
Let me tell you. So one of the most powerful practices that that we offer, that people take advantage of, is reflective listening buddies. And, of course, I don't know if you've ever done that, but what it consists of, it is really simple. And that is, so you and I get assigned to be reflective listening buddies. We don't know each other. We don't know anything about it. I mean, we might, but odds are we don't. And we set up a time during the week that works for both of us, and it's a half an hour. And for the first half hour, I talk, and your job is simply to reflect me. So you're learning to practice the skill of reflecting. And then at the end of that time, we switch roles. You talk and I practice reflecting you. And, you know, we could switch it up every week or however that works. That's not the point. The point is that for that period of time, you talk about anything that you want to talk about and I reflect you. And now when you're the one reflecting, it's an amazing awareness practice, okay, because we have to be so present, and we learn all kinds of things about what we do when we're in conversation with people that has nothing to do with anything except ego, okay? So if I'm going to just reflect you, I'm just a mirror. I'm just paying attention. I'm listening so that I can reflect back to you what you're saying. When I'm being reflected, I get to hear what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And most people talk all the time and have no idea what they're actually saying.
Okay.
Because, right? Because we're talking from a voice in the head, and the voice in the head is the one telling us what happened. So
right.
We can leave a conversation with somebody, and we're really depending on the voices in the head to tell us what happened. You know,
okay.
How did that go? Did that go well? Okay. So hearing what you say reflected back is just extraordinary awareness practice.
Okay.
In fact, I've had the situation where I've been reflecting somebody, and they will look at me and say, that's not what I said. And it was what they said. It was exactly what they said.
Wow.
But it wasn't what they heard in their head.
Oh.
They only got what they said when they heard me say it back to them. And it was so foreign to them that they thought I was not reflecting them accurately. So, with all of that, when we record and listen, so you're talking along, and it's that same process. But when you listen back, you will hear things that you have no idea were happening.
Okay.
It is the best. Now, recording is really important, you know, to let yourself talk. And on all kinds of levels, you know, you can just enjoy being where you are, having somebody that you can talk to in the middle of the night who always likes to listen to you, you know, having that companion you've always wanted. There's yeah. that aspect of it. But the awareness practice aspect is getting such insights into how conditioned mind operates, how much ego is in charge of our life experience,
right.
and getting clear about what is ego and what is authenticity, what is self-hate, how does conditioned mind operate, how does self-hate sneak in there and control us, those kinds
right.
of things. You'll hear it all.
Okay.
Have I convinced you?
Yeah. Before, I usually make these long recordings, so...
That's like, great. So do I.
Do you?
I do too.
Like, they're pretty long.
I'm the queen of nattering.
Okay.
And it to some degree, it saves people who are around me all the time from having me natter at them. Not completely, but it does protect them just a little. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And then you listen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was making the long recordings, and it does bring me back to myself, and I find it very useful every day. Like that's why I've increased it so much, that I find it useful, like to it just kind of helps me organize and just get back to being present with myself.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I find that part useful.
Because you're talking about real life, right?
Yes.
You're not
yes.
off somewhere in the future, in the past, or
right.
wandering around in conditioned mind. You're right here, and you're talking about
yes.
right here.
Yes.
That's good. That's
okay.
it. And we want to do that so much
mm-hmm.
that we train ourselves to be present.
Okay.
We get out of the habit of going off with conditioned mind. We're off in conditioned mind, and periodically we come back here and check in, and oh, there are birds and flowers and,
yeah.
huh.
Okay, yes.
We live here, and periodically we get fooled into going off with conditioned mind. And when
mm-hmm.
we do, it's startling.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
and
very
then
good.
That brings it back to you, and So now I just need to listen as much as I record. So
yes, and I predict, Jenny, that you're going to really enjoy it. You know,
oh, really?
You're just going around. What? Okay. Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna
okay.
love it. You're gonna fall in love with her.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean she is a really interesting person, and
yeah.
you're going to get to know her in a way that you, I project, have not been allowed to really know her. She's very dear and sweet and interesting and intelligent and insightful and aware and present and all of those kinds of things. And you get to experience that.
Great.
You let me know, right?
I will. Yes. Thank you
okay.
very much.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. Sherry, I've been listening a lot lately, and it's exactly what you're describing, getting to know this
yeah.
person and appreciating him and enjoying him
yeah.
and seeing him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great companion, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a way better companion than the voices of self-hate. Right?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's
or
for
just
sure.
even if it's not self-hate, just sort of... ego, going along
mm-hmm.
with its egocentric little whatevers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, once we catch on that that's not inspiring or interesting, we'd just rather spend our time with an actual human being who's here experiencing life.
Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi. My name is Carolyn. I'm from Virginia.
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi. Right now I'm calling you from China.
Good. And great. From Virginia to China. Carolyn,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm a day ahead of you, so it's Tuesday there, but it's Wednesday here.
Uh-huh.
So what I brought to China with me was a real bad backache that I got from hauling rocks a few weeks ago. And when I got here after a 14-hour plane ride, my back was exacerbated. And conditioning, I remember thinking, you know, your mother had a really bad backache for the last 30 years of her life that severely restricted her physical movements and her ability to do all the things that she loved to do in life. And
Carolyn, don't tell me we lost you. It's going to be hard to find you again in China. Darn. Michael, did we lose her?
I see her in the queue here still. We're just getting no signal right now. Sherry, how about we move on to the next caller, and then if she comes back.
Yeah, you keep an eye on her.
Oh, wait. Are you there, Carolyn? Are you there? Okay. I'm going to disconnect her, and then she can she'll call back in, and then we'll bring her on after the next caller.
Hey, Michael, hang on just one second. I'm getting a report. Gosh, this is something that hardly ever happens to me. I'm being asked to speak louder because they don't have a good speaker at the monastery. That's very exciting for me. All my life, you know. Could you tone it down, Huber? And now this request. I thought we had that fabulous speaker there. I'll have to look into that. It's a wonderful retreatant who shall remain nameless but is in the room. Made us a wonderful speaker, so I have to find out what happened to that. All right.
Got it.
Here we go.
Okay. So
is that louder?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to move on to the next caller, and then we'll come back for Carolyn.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lynn from D.C.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. So I had a question. What would you say to a child around like 12 years old, a girl around 12, 13-ish?
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident recently where she was being bullied in school. It's more like verbal bullying, like the other girls saying things behind her back, and she's, yeah.
A situation we probably all know quite well. Possibly
yeah.
From both sides.
Uh-huh. Yeah. just in terms of, like, not. How do I?
Well, what did you suggest?
Well, people were saying to her, using words like basically saying like, you're bad, that sort of thing. I mean, I'm not
uh-huh.
using the exact words, but I found her crying and I said to her, what did I say? I said to her, you're a good person, like inside you're a good person.
Mm-hmm. What strikes me about this, the funny part of this is that kids know the answer to this really early on and then get mm-hmm. talked into forgetting it.
Ah.
So let's see if this has crossed many generations. It takes one to know one. Right?
Yeah.
Did you have that as a kid?
Yeah.
It takes one to know one. That's who you
yep.
are, but what am I? mean, kids from a very early age understand projection.
Mm-hmm.
No, the way we talk about it is look to see whose mind it appeared in and whose mouth it came out of. That's who's having that experience.
Yeah. Wait, say that again.
So, always look to see whose head did it appear in, and whose
uh-huh.
mouth did it come out of. She's not saying it. She's not saying it to anybody.
Yep.
They're saying it. So they're the ones having the experience. So at 12, yeah, kids are old enough to understand projection. Kids really get it, again, even at that age, because they look at adults and go, you are full of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they know it. They know the adults are projecting all of this stuff onto them.
Yeah.
They're not having the experience that the adults are projecting onto them. So to help her recognize that, to realize that that's what's going on. So if somebody is being mean to you, if somebody's bullying you,
yeah.
well, where would she need to be inside herself to do that to somebody?
Uh-huh.
Well, she'd have to be unhappy. She'd have to be insecure and anxious. She'd be feeling bad about herself. And
yeah.
then she'd want to try to make somebody else feel bad so that she didn't feel so bad. At 12, all of that is understandable. And my encouragement always with kids is not to lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to really talk about that process from your perspective. How do you see that? How do you deal with that? And then include some of those principles that help you not take on negativity from other people.
Right, when you say you, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you.
Okay.
Yeah, because as you explore that for yourself, well, how do I do that?
Yeah.
You know, because people are negative all the time. So, well, how do I not get caught up in that? Then you'll be able to tell that to her, how you do it, and she will be able to hear that and begin to apply it to herself.
Yeah.
But I think that it takes one to know one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you are, but what about me? I mean, those are six-year-olds, right, who have that wisdom.
That's what you are, but what about me?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, that was one of them that went along with the takes one to know one. You know, there's a whole – maybe there are other people on the call who can remember some of the other ones, but kids, first starting school, have a whole repertoire of clarity about what other kids are doing. And then we lose it, especially puberty.
Right.
You know, there's a period of time of losing all clarity about everything.
Yeah. Help me understand, pardon my ignorance, help me understand that expression, that's what you are, but what about me? I never heard that before.
It goes back to that, whose head did it appear in? And whose mouth did it come out of? Who is having the experience?
Oh, so you're saying she would say that's what you are, but not, but what about me?
Yeah, but what about me?
Okay.
It points to that awareness that the one who's thinking that and the one who's saying that is the only one having the experience.
Yeah.
And so with your young person, if she doesn't pick it up, it's just going to lay there.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if she can learn to look at people and see, of course, you know, this is a great tool for anybody, right? You don't have to be a youngster for this one. In fact, it's probably more important for us. But if we can look at people, watch people from a perspective of projection,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if we don't ever have to take anything personally, we don't ever have to be confused about who is what. You know,
yeah.
There are so many things in society that people are, not to get too far out there, but morality. what is moral behavior, what people should or should not do, what's okay and not okay for other people to do. And you mm-hmm. see the people pointing the fingers at those bad people who are mm-hmm. whatever it is. Well, whose mind is that on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
So you can just look at them and go, wow, all right, you're spending a lot of time there thinking about things that maybe you think you shouldn't be thinking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me know how it goes, huh?
Okay. Thanks so much, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. And I have Carolyn back here in the queue. Shall we
oh,
try
yay.
Again?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. I don't know what happened, but I guess I got cut off.
Okay.
Well, you're in China. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we have trouble all staying connected right here in these United States. So,
yeah.
Okay, so your mother, the last 30 years of her life, had a debilitating back situation.
Right.
And
conditioning grabbed that thought and ran with it and scared me half out of my pants, saying, mm-hmm. this is the beginning of that for you. You don't even have mm-hmm. 30 more years of life, but all the rest you have, you're not going to be able to do all the things that you're used to doing, you love doing, and want to be doing. I live on a farm, so most of what I do involves digging and planting and hauling and mulching and things like that, very active physical things. And so it had me absolutely freaking out that my life as I know it is coming to an end. So I mm-hmm. realized that this was going on. I was having a meltdown, and I grabbed my recorder, recorded about it in tears, mm-hmm. gave the recorder to the mentor, who said, do not continue this conversation. Do not listen to this voice anymore. And
I love
suggested,
it.
suggested that instead I use a mantra of, I choose peace. I choose peace. So I
uh-huh.
did that. But I'm, and that did help some. It did help some.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I have to be vigilant because the conditioning voice
mm-hmm.
would come back in again, and
mm-hmm.
I would return
mm-hmm.
to I choose peace. So
mm-hmm.
I just wondered if you had any other comments or guidance about working with
well,
this, because this whole
yeah.
thing of aging. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. So first of all, of course, you know, just to stop for everybody to stop and take in. What a hateful system that is. So when we, you know, sometimes people roll their eyes, oh, Sherry, it's so extreme. You know, it's not really hateful. And my comment is, well, not yet, apparently. So two things are happening. Either you're not hearing it, you don't recognize it. You're not hearing it or you don't recognize it. Those are the only two things, because that hatefulness is there lurking all the time. And so as you've noticed, if it sees any kind of vulnerability, it's going to come in and hopefully come in for the kill to make you miserable for the rest of your life. So my encouragement was something like that. And I was just talking with somebody, at group on Sunday at Center. Somebody was talking about being in a situation, attempting to do something physical and unable to do it. And the conclusion is sort of like, well, I guess I just can't do that anymore. And I said, I hope you don't conclude that. I hope you conclude that, well, you know, this is going to take some attention and effort to be able to do that again. So I'm fond of pointing out that what happens with most people is that with every decade, there's a program that gets intensified about doing less. So somebody I read once, a writer, referred to it as the comfort-loving 50s. And I thought, wow, leading to the incapacitated 60s and the miserable on your way to death 70s, because it's just downhill. So instead of that, what we really need to do with every decade, we need to do more, because it's really easy when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, when you're in your 40s, right? And to realize that even though it remains easy, we're losing ground with every day. So the body needs more support, more attention, more strengthening, more consideration, not less. Not less. We've got to work harder. What I would wish for you is something along the lines of, well, you know, we don't know. It could be, you know, we don't know. Anything could happen. It's not happening right now. And right now, I have the ability to turn my attention to getting to the other side of this. I see no evidence that I can't be fit and strong enough to do everything that I want to do. It's going to take some effort and paying attention and being kind to the body. Good. What else do I have to do?
Yeah.
And then you go on a program.
Yeah, you go
on a program. You know, you talk to everybody you can talk to. You get exercises. You do them. You commit to doing them. You know, you learn how the different things in your back and your body, and you just have a new relationship with your body in which a huge part of your commitment is to giving it the support it needs to be able to support you.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And you're right, I don't know. I don't know. Right now,
no.
My back hurts. That doesn't mean it's going to hurt next week.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And Carolyn, that is such an important point. That is exactly the juncture where most people start into a downhill slide and don't notice that next week it doesn't hurt or tomorrow it doesn't hurt. And I could actually start taking those steps, right? It's just I go unconscious when it doesn't hurt. Then when it does, it comes in with vengeance to try to take me down. And we're not going for that on any level, right?
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We're just not going with that hateful voice.
Yeah. I spent too many years following that hateful voice to spend any time doing it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your assignment now, of course, is to get the attention, as the mentor suggested, on peace, on presence, on enjoying where you are, having fun, and appreciating and like that, and knowing that your relationship with your body is just going to get better and better and better with every day for the rest of your life.
Okay, I accept that assignment.
Good. Good.
And
keep me posted on your progress, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. Sherry, I loved that conversation. The combination of awareness practice applied to the physical body, to all the other content in my life, is such a powerful project. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some guy, I don't know what his name is, and he lived, you know, like in the 1800s or something, I think, in France. And he was famous for this affirmation, every day in every way I'm getting better and better.
Mm.
And it's a good one, you know?
Yes.
Why not? Instead of listening to voices every day in every way, God, it's going downhill faster and faster and faster. Getting better and better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, and Sherry, we are going to listen to our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hey, this is another Ann, but from the other coast, calling from the Bay Area. Well, hello,
Ann, from
the other coast, and I am very happy to be here.
I wanted to call.
Yes, I wanted to call because I've been out of the country for 2 weeks on a business trip and have had the China caller had connection difficulties. And so when I got back, I wasn't able to listen to the year-long retreat calls while I was gone because of my connection difficulties. And I just wanted to call and say how incredibly helpful it was to listen to them. And I wanted to, two things particularly that were really helpful. And one of them was that a lot of people were calling in talking about how they felt behind, which I could so relate to because this was the first two-week period where I hadn't been able to listen to the show. And so I had this story going about being behind. And it was so helpful to realize that that's exactly what it is. It's a story and has nothing to do with anything. And it was so powerful to get that.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking here, what you're getting to is this outrageous insight that even if what the voices were saying were true, so what?
Well, exactly. Well, then that means I'm not. Well, that's what was so wonderful about it. I'm not meeting the standards.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is just a story.
Right. And the wonderful thing you said to this person was, well, you know, instead of being in that conversation and conditioned mind, you could just do an exercise. And it was just like, oh my God.
What a notion. Instead of being berated about being behind and not meeting the standard, I could just do something that takes care of me. Yeah? Not because it's going to meet the standard, but it's beating me up because I'm behind in the class. Well, just do one of the exercises in the class. I'll enjoy that a lot more than being beaten up for being behind in the class.
Well, yes, and the whole point of what, I mean, it's kind of difficult for me to, it's kind of like looking behind your shoulder, but the whole point of the class is to see how we do things, how we do everything is how we do everything. And this is a huge how of, well, I don't know what you'd say, how of ego, but this is a huge bamboozle of ego that, you know, there's a standard here. Come on, meet it.
Yes. Yes. There's a standard here. You didn't meet it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, because that's the way it works best. And
right,
then,
right. There's a yes.
Yeah. So you're already behind, Anne. So clearly you didn't meet the standard, right? So that you can't argue about that, right? But in case you see a standard in the future, what we know is that standard is just going to, I don't know, there must be an image for this, but it just starts wiggling around, right? It just starts morphing, right? Because whatever you do, sooner or later, it's not going to meet the standard.
Yes, and I was sitting here looking at this because I'm like, oh my God, this is so huge. I realize it's really connected to childhood conditioning and a deep-seated belief that no matter what I do, it's never enough, or it's not good enough, or, you know, that. And Sherry, just to one thing that happened. So I was in Mexico City for 2 weeks, and I particularly made the effort to look up yoga classes because I know that yoga for me is just like integral to being able to make the time change and survive physically in a different environment. And I went to 7 Iyengar yoga classes in a row, 7 days in a row, and took classes in a foreign language that I'd never done before, right? But then when I get back, it's not good for you, Anne. That was amazing that you did that. Well, you didn't keep up with the email class.
Right. And by the way, look at your house.
Right. Oh, you mean, yeah, like what, you didn't clean it or what? I don't know.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Just pointing at the whatever it can bring up, to make you feel bad. Something, somewhere that you didn't do well or didn't do well enough.
Yeah, so here it is. I mean, that's the thing, using practice against me, right? So you made this commitment and you didn't do it, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What are we? This is what? Is this July? This is July. This is the first 2 weeks that I haven't listened to the program, but oh my God. And the other point that was so, I mean, I was so amazed, Sherry, because listening to these programs, they were so speaking directly to my experience. And the other thing that was so helpful was someone called in and said, I know we've given up feeling, we gave up feeling bad, 2 years ago, but I'm realizing that's my karma, I feel bad. And you said to her, you said, just pick that, and every day at the end of the day, you're committed, no matter what happens, you're committed to not feeling bad. And I thought, what would be my thing? What is my one thing? And that's it. It's like, pick that no matter what I did, it was enough.
Yes. Yeah. And Anne, I've known you for a long time, okay? So here's my suggestion. As soon as you get to enough, you're going to realize that the actual truth is it is so far beyond enough that that it's just going to boggle your mind.
Okay, you're going to have to – can you say that? I'll reflect that to you, but you're going to have to say it again to me, because obviously as soon as I get to enough, I'm going to realize that it's so far beyond enough that it will boggle my mind. And then my question is, well, how do I get to enough? Because obviously –
In exactly the way you laid out, because what's going to be required of you is when it starts in on something, and that's the importance of focusing on one thing, right? Which is brilliant. So it's going to do this because it's a program, right?
Right.
And so every day it's going to try. It's done it all your adult life, right? Why would it stop now just because you're onto it? So it's going to start with the. Well, but what about this? Well, yeah, but what about that? And you're going to hear it. And you're going to actually stop and take in what happened. Yeah? So how much effort did you put into whatever that was? How much care do you give to that? And then get off that what? Right. So in that way, so you went on a work trip. You're in a foreign country. You're keeping up with your yoga. You're doing all this stuff, and then it says, but you didn't keep up with the class. And so get off of that what, because there's no, you just say, yeah, okay, good. You're right. I didn't. I'll catch up. Okay. But then you want to immediately focus on what you did. Which is what you just told us about, which is extraordinary. Uh-huh. That's not enough. That's way, 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 way beyond enough.
Yeah.
Because I can only guess you were also going to work and doing whatever it was that they sent you there for, right?
Yeah. And all in a foreign language.
And all in a foreign language. Yes. So enough is such a joke, actually, when we begin to catch on to it. You're never on the downside of enough.
Yeah. Well, it's just,
is so helpful because I just am seeing, which is, of course, the whole point of the class, right? But I'm just seeing how ingrained this is.
Yeah.
That,
yes.
You know, the conclusion is that I'm meant to get to this point of, talk about feeling bad. It's like, no matter what, I don't care, Herculean efforts or what, it's like, sorry, that's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, those of us listening to it, those of us not inside your karma, can get to a place of, wow, you know, for a lifetime under that kind of tyranny, and how insane that is, that day after day after day, and it's good to see it in you because it's happening with everybody. To one degree or another, right? So it's helpful to see it in somebody else. So the amazing part about that is to be under that burden day after day after day and still get up every day with a commitment to excellence.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's so amazing to me, I only have one other, and that's the other thing, you know, here's a story that I'm behind, and what did I do as soon as I got home? I listened to all the shows, and except I have one more to listen to that I haven't listened to, but the thing that I was so amazed by, not only that everything people talked about was speaking directly to the experience I was having in that moment, I don't know how that happens, but it's always true, is
we
that,
are one.
Yes, to see, it was such a gift to see, oh my God, this is conditioned mind, and it's in every single person, and it's you know, like we say over and over again, this is what we're all up against. It's not me, it's not
personal.
My thing. Yeah, and it's just so helpful.
Which again, in that way that we can see how cared for we are, When you sit down and listen to, you know, 9 or 10 shows back to back, you hear things that you wouldn't hear if you listened one each day.
Yeah.
And so that in itself is a gift that you would not have had if you hadn't, in quotes, gotten behind.
Yes, and that in quotes is so important because I'm just really staring in the face that belief that there is something wrong, and not only is there is not enough, but you are not enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just right there, and it's like, my God.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
Well, I just wanted to make the point that the reason that brainwashing happens the way it happens is that we have to be told something over and over and over. We have to be beaten over the head with it to get us to the point where we will finally accept as true something that is a bald-faced lie.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Sherry, I can just feel it in me because when you said, you know, get to the other side of that, I really feel the, I don't know what to call it, but the place where I'm not to the other side of that. You know what does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which is why we practice.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's so helpful too, because of course I have the experience constantly of this not even existing. You know, I mean, I know it's not like, oh, I have to do all this work so this is over with, because it's not there in an instant, you know, but then here I am in this conditioning, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is.
Wow.
Yes. It's why we don't quit, and why we know that there's always a next something. There's always a next point of freedom. Now, of course, again, ego frames it as here's the next piece of crapola that is wrong with you that you have to somehow figure out how to fix. And at a certain point, we realize these are points of freedom, that as soon as we recognize that for what it is, crapola it is, as soon as we recognize it as that and see it has nothing to do with us,
we're free of one more thing that's been holding us back. And we're going to do that throughout our lifetime, getting freer freer and freer.
And I just see the place of unconsciousness where I don't see it when where I fall into believing that no matter what I do, it's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is, as you said, it's just a line of crock or what, however, but it feels, when I'm in it, as we say, it's really, it was one of those really, 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 really true things.
Yes. And it's one of those things that you would be well served to put on a great big giant piece of paper in bright letters and put on your wall. Okay. Make a dozen recordings and then two or three a day. All right. For
put
at
the line
least
on a piece of paper.
Watch for messages of not enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where is the lie of not enough showing up now? And so that it constantly stays in front of your conscious awareness, and then you will see it increasingly just in every aspect of your life. That's how karma is. All right, have fun.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Adios.
Adios. Thank you, Anne. And Sherry, we are near the top of the hour here, just a couple minutes away.
Well, are you feeling kind of gutsy?
Yes. Practice.
All right, let's do it. All right.
Okay, let me find another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry, it's Chrissy from North Carolina.
Well, hello
there.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I'll try to make this quick. I was just looking at... I have been attending, and not for a very long time. There's a Sangha group in Raleigh, and it's really one of the only ones. They practice Tibetan Buddhism, and so the language is very different.
Aren't you close to Asheville?
I am not. I'm 4 hours away from Asheville.
Oh, you traveled. I see. Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I have the opportunity to take Mahayana. Am I saying that correctly? Because really, I'm kind of green around the ears when it comes to the whole, you know, to Tibetan Buddhism and to any Buddhism, really. I mean, I am familiar with our Sangha and what we discussed.
Well, Chrissy, why do you need to become familiar with that? What is the need here, girl?
I feel like I need to be practicing with, like-minded individuals, and it's not the same environment. You know, it's not the privileged environment, but, it's different.
May I?
Sure.
Here's my encouragement when people are, you know, attracted to the way we do things, and are at a distance, I encourage them to find Quakers.
You said Quakers?
Quakers. Friends. Because those folks are actually much more similar to practice as we do it than are some of the other types of Buddhism.
Okay, and... I really don't know how to go about. I mean, I enjoy practicing, you know, on the East Coast here with you guys, and I really would like to be, you know, around other practitioners. And
you know, Chrissy, it's a difficult thing. But let me now. I mean, there are no shoulds about it. There are absolutely no shoulds about it. But you are not going to find similarities. So going into it, if you look at Zen, and that's one thing, and then you look at Tibetan Buddhism, and that's another thing. But don't be confused that you're going to find similarities, because you won't.
Well, it seems to be similar. It just seems to be a different language almost. That's where I think I know what you're saying, but so I guess your thoughts are just to continue Zen practice.
If that's what you're attracted to. Now, if you're attracted to Tibetan Buddhism, then by all means, practice. But don't get yourself in a position where you're doing both. So it's the image of you've got one foot on this one boat and one foot on another boat. Mm-hmm. And for a little while, it seems like you're okay. But the current is going to take them in different directions. And at a certain point, it's going to get really uncomfortable, and then you're going to either, you're with me, you're getting that picture. So just so you know that, the fact that they are both called Buddhism does not create anything close to similarity.
Okay.
Just so you know that, because otherwise, let me give you another example here. If you went to a Southern Baptist church and then you went to a Catholic church, now these people are all Christians, okay? I mean, don't expect it to be the same. And if you do, you're going to spend all your time trying to translate, which... You may want to do, and you may not want to do.
I see what you mean. And so with the spirit of inquiry, you don't recommend that I try to learn about other 4 hours. I could do what I want, really. But
that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's exactly right. Now, I will tell you that from my perspective, we have plenty in this tradition to keep the spirit of inquiry active for a lifetime and beyond. But you need to decide for you what you want to do and what works for you.
Okay.
And okay?
So, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Thank you, Chrissy.
I have my first appointment with the Zen Awareness Coach tomorrow, so I wanted to thank you for that, too.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy that very much. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Chrissy.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chrissy. And thank you, Sherry, for an amazing show once again. I really enjoyed it. Learned a lot. It was wonderful.
Good. Me too. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Shall
thank
we do
you.
This again?
Yes, next week, same time. Let's do it.
All right. Same time, same station. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you, Sarah.
Bye-bye.
Good night.